Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of magnifying God. The Psalms speak of magnifying God. The Psalms say, "Let those who love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." We're taking some time to talk about what it means to magnify God. If I were to ask you, what does it mean to magnify God? There's a good chance you would probably say, well, it means to praise him and to worship him, which I would agree with 100%. But we're coming at this topic from a bit of a different angle. Let's forget about God for just a minute in the Bible and talk about the word magnify. Now, when I say forget about God and forget about the Bible, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying get rid of either one, praise the Lord. I'm just saying let's consider the word magnify for a minute, because I think it'll help you understand something important about how you need to see God. When you magnify something, you make it bigger in your eyes. If you can't read the fine print on something, you'll get a magnifying glass. The magnifying glass doesn't change the size of what you're looking at. It just enables you to see what you're looking at more clearly. When we magnify God, we expand our picture of him. We get a better view or perspective of him. We magnify God by getting a more accurate picture of him from the Bible and then focusing our attention on who he truly is, on him as he truly is. When we magnify God, we don't make him bigger. How many of you know God's big? We make him bigger in our eyes. You see, God is small to most of us. He seems far away, and anything that's far away is small. Our problems seem so big, and God seems small. I mean, if we're honest, that's where many Christians are. The reason for that is we don't see him as he truly is. If you saw God as he truly is, you'd see that there's nothing that can come against you that's bigger than him. And you would also see that he is not far from you. You exist in God. In him you live and move and have your being. He's perfectly present with you right now, loving you and reigning. His presence is salvation, Psalm 42, verse 5 says. He's a very present help in trouble. So we're taking some time to magnify God. We're talking about why God seems small to us, and then we're looking into his word to see why he isn't small. He's big. Now, one reason God seems small to us, one reason we need to magnify God, is that we don't see the big picture. And that's what I want to focus on this week, the big picture, God's plan for man. We are often, well, let me say it this way. God seems small to us because we don't understand the point or the purpose for which we exist, because we don't see the big picture. For many of us, salvation is about getting your sins forgiven so you don't go to hell, so you can go to heaven when you die. Now, we do need our sins forgiven. There really is a hell. And if we don't receive Jesus, we'll go there. There really is a heaven. And if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you'll really go there. But for many of us, that's what salvation is about, not going to hell. Now, believe me, if that's all there was to salvation, I would be thrilled, because I don't want to go to hell. I thank God I am not going to hell. But salvation is so much more than that. Did you know Jesus did not die to keep you from going to hell? Now, that is a byproduct of why he died. Don't get me wrong, because he went to the cross. The potential is there for every human being to miss hell if they will receive him as Lord and Savior. But nowhere does the Bible say Jesus died to keep us out of hell. It says Jesus died to bring us to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "The just suffered for the unjust." Jesus, the just one, suffered for us who were unjust to bring us to God. He died to make relationship with God possible. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says Jesus died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who died and rose again. Jesus died to bring us to God, to make relationship with God possible. He died to turn us away from self and enable us, empower us to live for him. Really, and this is what we're going to talk about this week, salvation is about being made like Jesus through the operation of God's life in us. Let me say that again. Salvation is about being made like Jesus through the operation of God's life in us, eternal life. This week, we want to talk about God's plan for man to make us like Jesus through his life in us. We want to talk about God's plan in order to magnify God in our eyes. You see, God is small to us because in trying to understand salvation and the plan of God, we start with ourselves in our fallen, sinful condition. We try to understand God's plan for man from that vantage point. But that is not where God's plan and our destiny in God's plan began. We begin with the fact that man is guilty of sin before a holy God, and the fact that Jesus came to pay for our sins. And if you'll accept Jesus, you can have eternal life and miss hell. Now, I agree with all of that, 100%. We are guilty of sin before a holy God. Jesus came to pay for our sins. If you accept Jesus, you will receive eternal life and you will miss hell. But many of us still struggle with a sense of guilt, unworthiness, and shame because we know what we were before we were saved. We know God has made us new creatures now. You know, we're all new creatures. Wahoo. But we're uneasy before God, uneasy in his presence, because we know we're all just cleaned up rotten sinners. And we struggle with believing that God could really love somebody as rotten as me, as messed up as me. And we have this underlying feeling that he's really going to let us have it at some point. Because of our flaws, our failures, our shortcomings, and our sin, we have trouble believing that God really cares for us or that he really will come through for us. Can anybody relate to that? I know you can. I run into Christians regularly, and this is probably the number one thing they struggle with, that sense of unworthiness before God, because they know what they were. I mean, they're glad they're new creatures. They're glad God has saved them, and they're glad they're not going to hell, but they struggle with this sense of unworthiness before God. And see, the problem with that is the tone of the New Testament is not grovel before God in fear and unworthiness. The tone of the New Testament is come boldly and confidently to God. If all you knew about Christianity, if all you knew about what it means to know God and serve God was what you read in the New Testament, you'd never get the idea that he created us so we could grovel before him in fear and unworthiness. The whole tone of the New Testament is come boldly and confidently to God. See, when we magnify God and see him as he truly is, we will see his love for us. We will see his plan for us, and it will give us confidence before God. Now, I said a moment ago, one reason God is small in our eyes is because we begin in discussing God's plan. We talk about the plan of salvation, and we begin with the fact that we're guilty of sin before a holy God, and that Jesus came to die for our sins, and if you accept him, you can miss hell. Now, like I say, I'm not saying that any of that is wrong, but that's not where God's plan begins. And let me say this, I'm not even saying that's wrong, you know, to to witness to somebody like that and go through the Roman road with them. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just trying to magnify God. I'm trying to enlarge your picture of him, because God's plan for you began before you committed your first sin. God's plan for you actually began before you were born into this earth, a member of a fallen race. We are born into a fallen race. We are marred by the fall. And through Adam's sin, we were all made sinners, and we're all guilty of committing our own sin before God. But you must understand that God's plan for you did not begin when you were born into this world. Your history with God did not begin when you were born into a fallen race. Your history with God did not even begin when you committed your first sin. Your history with God began in eternity past. God knew you in eternity past. Now, I'm not saying you've always existed, because you haven't. You and I both came into existence at the moment of conception in our mother's womb, but we were always in the mind of God. What I mean by that is there was never a time that God did not know about you or me. If there was a time that he didn't know about you or me, that means he's not all-knowing. That means he's not omniscient. But the Bible's very clear. God is omniscient or all-knowing. There has never been a time that God did not know you. Now, we take that statement and say, and I think I told you last week, I used to teach it this way, but I was wrong. We take that statement and say, well, yes, God knew me. And let me give you my scripture, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before God ever formed the world, he chose us. He knew us and chose us. And see, we take that statement and say, he knew what a goof up I would be, but he wanted me anyway. But the problem with that is it's not accurate. And when we do that, instead of magnifying God, we minimize him and his plan. God's first knowledge of me was not what a goof up I am. God knew and God knows a perfect me. God knew and God knows a perfect you. You before the race of men fell in Adam. You before sin. Now we're going to pick it right up here tomorrow. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy. Let's face it, everyone is busy these days, and when it comes to God's Word, there's a lot to learn. Diane can help you maximize your study time. For starters, you can order this week's lesson on tape or CD, or join Diane every Friday night for a live in-depth teaching right here in St. Louis, Missouri, with worship provided by Mercy's Child. We meet at 7:30 p.m. each Friday at 4720 Jameson, right in the heart of beautiful St. Louis Hills. You'll be in the company of believers with like faith and passions. And we hope to see you this Friday. You can become a group leader and use Riches in Christ Bible study material. We will provide lessons on tape or CD with a study guide for everyone in your group. Call us for details. Send this teaching forth by partnering with us. Monthly partners help pay for radio time and receive our best teaching. Diane provides a website with MP3 audio, downloadable study guides, and much more. Visit www.richesinchrist.com. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-888-739-6619. That's toll-free 1-888-739-6619.